In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. According to your faith, be it unto you. So said the Lord to the man, or the two men, who were blind before he healed them. Would we want to have this condition placed upon our healing? Would we want it to be according to our faith? In the scriptures you see over and over how faith is the engine that runs everything. With faith, we believe and we do. Faith is absolutely necessary, but it's sort of obscure to us. This gospel has two instances of how faith is practiced. One by a man who had good, strong faith. He believed in God. He believed in Him as his Lord. And he pursued Him into a house, or two men actually, in order to be healed. And then the other, not the faith of the one who was healed, but the faith of those who brought him to Jesus. Just like, remember the paralytic, born of four? Same sort of situation, where the faith of others caused someone to be helped. Two instances of the action of faith. Not two instances of types of faith, because faith is one. Faith is to believe in God and to do according to this belief. Now, which one are we? I submit to you that we are a composite of both types of men. That is the two types that were healed. One is the one who had faith, pursued God, believed in Him as God, and according to his faith he was healed. But I myself do not want the Lord to place that stricture upon everything that He does to me according to my faith. Because then I would cry out, Lord, increase my faith, as the apostles did. Or cry out as the man who had the boy who was possessed by a demon, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Our faith must necessarily increase for us to do greater things. And some of that is dependent upon us, and some of that is dependent upon others to help us. But we cannot really honestly say that we are like this man who had faith, or these two men, who had faith and were healed. But we cannot say that we are totally unlike them either. Now the dumb man, the one who could not speak, he had to depend on the help of others. He might not have even been aware that he was being helped at the time. Who knows how much of a fog his mind must have been because of the demon that was within him. Do you know what dumbness represents? When we do not have the grace of God within us. You can't speak that which you do not know. Oh, fools can speak about things they do not know, but they're known to be charlatans. The person who really knows that such a person does not really know what they're talking about. But you cannot speak with conviction, with purpose, unless you have the experience of that which you speak. So the dumb man, unable to glorify God because the grace of God was not within him, who knows why? His sins, the sins of his parents, the sins of the people. That is a mystery that really has no answer. But it's clear that the man could not glorify God. So it is with us. We can speak somewhat about faith. We can do some good things, but not enough, not very much. But we dare not say that we're like this man completely, because that would be a blasphemy. Jesus Christ lives within us. The Holy Spirit inspires us and guides us. We don't dare say that we're completely unable to glorify God. If that is the case, then God is not in us. And yet, because of our sins, we cannot glorify God as we ought. So, to some extent, we are dumb. And, to some extent, we have faith. So, we are a composite of these two men. Let's look a little bit in detail at these two men quickly. And then let's see what it is that can help us to be like the first and not like the last. So Jesus is traveling and two blind men know of him. They call him Son of David. A term of great honor. A messianic term. But also a term of some ambiguity. Remember when the Lord tripped up the Pharisees and Sadducees who were trying to question him, trying to get him to fall into some trap so that they could make an excuse to kill him? And he said, how does David speak of the Christ? He says, he's David's son. Well, how can that be? For David himself says in the book of Psalms, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou unto my right hand until I make thine enemies the footstool. If David therefore calleth him Lord, how then can he be his son? So the Lord said in Luke. In other places as well. So, it's kind of ambiguous. To call Jesus the Son of David is very true. And it truly is a term which refers to him as God, as the Christ. But also, it is not as an exact a term as to call him Lord. So, the Lord says, he comes into the house and the blind man comes to him and Jesus says to him, Do you believe that I will do this? And he says, yea, Lord. So he had the proper belief in God. And he was healed. According to your faith, so the Lord said. And then there was the dumb man, brought by friends, concerned people for him. And the Lord healed him immediately without requiring anything of the man because he couldn't give anything. And he spake and glorified God. So as I said, we're between the two. But we should be more like the man who has good faith. The Lord says, according to your faith, let it be unto you. Actually, you know, it's always that case. It's always according to our faith that it's done to us. Or perhaps, when we are fortunate, according to someone else's faith, who prays for us, tries to help us. But if it depends on us, it's always according to our faith. Whether our faith be weak or strong. And if our faith be weak, then the action of God in us is weak. If our faith be strong, then the action of God within us is strong. How do we increase our faith? The apostle tells us. This is a surefire way to increase your faith. This is a rule of thumb that you should follow in everything you do in your life. If you can live your life in this way, you will be saved. And that is, you think of others first. Over and over, in the Gospel, the epistles, the story of the kingdom is that we think of others first. Why? Because if we think of others first, we are like the Lord. And we are to become like the Lord if we are to know Him. So, we then that are strong are to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. This is how our faith grows. Don't any one of us dare to say that we are the weakest of all, that we couldn't help anybody. As I've said, that would be a blasphemy. That would be saying we're like this man possessed by the demon with no grace of God in us at all. May we never say such a thing or be such a thing. We have different levels of strength. Some of us are very strong. Some of us are very weak. The weakest are those that think of themselves first. The strongest are those that think of the weak. If you want your faith to increase, think of the weak. It's a difficult thing to do. because there are many things that get in our way of thinking of the weak. Our own pride, when the weak don't return our kindness. When we try to help people and they won't be helped. When we set up in ourselves sort of a judging, say, well, this person deserves my help, this one doesn't. This one wouldn't do anything with my help anyway. There's nothing of that in this epistle. It is, we that are strong are to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. This is truly, if you can describe the pastoral life, this would be the best way to describe it. The strong to bear the infirmities of the weak. But the pastoral life is not just to be lived by the pastors. We all are to bear the infirmities of one another. So if you want your faith to increase, then think of others. Let every one of us please his neighbor to his good for edification. Why? Because Christ pleased not himself. It all comes back to Christ. A few weeks ago I said the answer to every question is Christ. Do you want to have your faith increased? The answer is Christ. Both asking him for help and living as he lived. And he lived only caring for others. And if we only care for others, then this marvelous thing happens. Our faith increases. And our ability to glorify God increases. We are no longer mute regarding the glories of God because we are living in them. We are experiencing God. Not as someone who is talked about, but as someone who lives within and we feel with everything we do. You should consider it a necessity each day, each moment, to look out for others, to bear their infirmities. Truly, I think this describes the pastoral life, and I feel unworthy when I hear it, because to some small extent I live according to this way, but to a great extent I do not. And always, when I think about these things, and I think about them often, I hope you do too, when I sort of meditate upon why is it that my faith is weak? Why is it that I have anxiety? Why is it that I wonder about the future? Why is it that I can't forgive myself of something that I've done wrong? Because I see the event, the events that have unfolded because of my weakness. Why is that? My faith is weak because I'm not living as Christ. If you bear the infirmities of the weak, you never feel like you have a burden. I was recently reading a book, I'm in the middle of it, about a nun who did all manner of good things for people. An Orthodox nun, Greek Orthodox, lived many years, reposed recently. And she worked with lepers, and she did all kinds of dirty jobs, and all kinds of stuff. And the way she was described, she always had a smile on her face. She was always happy. Some of the things she said had great depth and profundity. I'm going to eventually start publishing her sayings on our blog and discussing them, because they're amazing. Simple, but incredibly profound. She lived them. She thought of others first and not herself. So her faith was strong. So brothers and sisters, look at your life. What bothers you? You're worried about your finances? You're worried about family problem? Worried about always being tired, always being depressed? You're worried about something else in your life? What's the root of this problem? Is the root of your problem just that particular problem? No. The root of your problem is your lack of faith. And you have faith increase by thinking of others first. And then the Lord will say, according to your faith be it done unto you. Amen.